Point work, the three of us. And it's about understanding child groups or various types of fields, in particular theiotic fields. So there's no homotopy theory of schemes here, but I believe the examples we have are still interesting. Let me remind you that so X is going to be a smooth projective variety. Over K, which is a field. And for simplicity here, I want to assume that the characteristic of K is equal to zero. All of our examples are going to be in this setting. Then you have ZP of X, the group of algebraic cycles of codimension P. So this is the free abelian group generated by irreducible closed subvarieties of codimension P. And we have various subgroups of this group, namely the group of cycles which are rationally equivalent to zero. You think of those cycles as being parametrized by P1, which is contained in the subgroup of cycles algebraically equivalent to zero. You think of those cycles as being parametrized by an arbitrary curve, and the subgroup of cycles which are homologically trivial, which in this setting, since I assume characteristic zero, you can define as the kernel of the cycle map from algebraic cycles into Itard cohomology, product over all primes, H2P, X over the closure with ZL coefficients. Then the child group in codimension P is defined to be the quotient of P cycles by rational equivalence. And from those inclusions, you get there exists a short exact sequence. Zero to AP of X. Okay, let me write this down and I'll say something about this. So this is the quotient of cycles algebraically equivalent to zero modulo rational equivalence. This is the second quotient, and this is this is the big quotient. This is the second quotient. It's the Griffiths group. Whenever I write a subscript at a child group which you can't read, it's hum for homologically trivial. And the basic question is, what's the structure of shall, let's just say P for now, tensor Z mod L. So tensor there's an abelian group, which I will also write as chow P hom of X mod L, where L is a prime. Let me remind you of a few results. Let me see. The first result I'd like to mention is due to Chet Schoen. 2000 or 2002. In 2000, which says that if E is a complex elliptic curve with J invariants not in Q bar, and little k is Q adjoined to J invariant, and the closure of this, the number of elements in Chow 2 sum of the triple product of E over this field mod L is infinite if L is either 5, 7, 11, 13, or 17. I will say something about where the primes come from in a second. This result, since it's over an algebraically closed field, implies that the Griffiths group mod L is infinite as well. The reason is that this guy here is generated by correspondences from Jacobians of curves, and they're divisible over an algebraically closed field. If you're suspicious because it's only five primes here, here's a second result. Due to Schoen in 2002, which says that if E is the Fermat curve x cubed plus y cubed plus c cubed equal to 0, so you can look at that in P2Q, and little k is q bar, then the number of elements in Chow 2 Hom of E cubed k mod L is infinite if L is congruent to 1 mod L. So it holds for infinitely many primes, and what's wrong? One mod, yes. Does that make more sense? Yes. Okay. Now, why does anybody care about a result like this? So in general, the belief is that over a number field, the Chow group should be finitely generated. What this says is over Q bar, mod L, the Chow group is infinite. It means in particular, given any n, there's a number field such the Chow group of this triple product of this curve over this number field has rank at least n. So there, actually, it should make you a little bit nervous if you believe in those finiteness conjectures. And my understanding is, those cycles, they come from so-called CM cycles. Those cycles are of a different type. So the point of proving those two results is that it happens in more than just this one instance. This is also a result which, it's a lot of very hard work. I think if you combine everything, it's at least 100 pages in print. So it's not easy to come by results like this. Third result of Schoen I would like to mention from 2000 is the following. So E over little k as in 1 or 2. And then F an elliptic curve with J invariant not contained in little k, and big K, little k, adjoint is J invariant, so F is defined, and then the algebraic closure of this. Then in this case, one can look at Chow 3 of E cubed, fiber product over little k, with F over big K, one can look at the L torsion group. And if I write down this L, I mean the kernel of multiplication by L on an abelian group. Not L primary, but L torsion group. This is infinite for the appropriate primes, meaning if you take E as in the first example for those five guys, if you take E as in the second example for infinitely many. Let me say why the third result follows from the first two. So this holds because if W, this is what he actually proves, is any smooth projective variety over little k there's an exterior product map which is injective into this group. So if W is e cubed over little k. The left hand side is isomorphic to chow 2 homologically trivial of e cubed over little k. And here the L torsion group of F here is two copies of C mod L. So whenever the chow group mod L is infinite, you get this very large torsion group. But you have to enlarge the field. You have to increase the transcendence degree of the field by at least one. He actually has an example. I mean, if you don't make this assumption that the J invariant of F is not contained in little k, this injectivity is false. Now we're going to look at chow groups over p-adic fields. And of course, the p-adic field, so that's a finite extension of QP, has infinite transcendence degree over Q. And the general belief in the study of cycles is that whenever you have a large transcendence degree, those groups become very large. But there was essentially very little known about this, especially about those one cycles, meaning codimension 2 on a threefold. And so let me state our result. Mod L, this goes away over an algebraically closed field. Because this guy is generated by Jacobians of curves via correspondences, and the Jacobian of a curve over an algebraically closed field, mod L is zero. This is not the A that you wrote down in your talk last week, right? I mean, you sort of put... This is the standard A. I mean, you wrote down a different A last week, if that's the source of the confusion. Okay. Okay, so the theorem says that let P be an odd prime. Then there exists a p-adic field KP. So again, this is a finite extension of QP and an elliptic curve. An elliptic curve E over KP such that for L, 5, 7, 11, 13, and 17, you can look at the chow group with the triple product of E over this p-adic field. There's a base change map, and you can look at this guy mod L. There's a base change map into the chow group of this guy over the closure of this mod L. You can look at the image. And you can look at the cardinality of this image, and the statement is that this is infinite. So in particular, this chow group over the p-adic field mod L is an infinite guy. Should make you suspicious that it's the same five primes that appear in the first result I quoted by Schoen. We're going to use this result, but I think the... Before the end of the year, we can do better than those five primes. Let me state two corollaries. The first one is for E over KP as before, the number of elements in the Griffiths group of codimension two cycles of this triple product of E over this p-adic field mod L is infinite. This follows just from a base change argument and the fact that over the closure of KP, this coincides with the Griffiths group mod L. So it's evident. the second corollary is that, so E over KP as before, there exists elliptic curve F over KP such that the number of elements in the torsion group of Chow 3, now I take the product of E cubed with F. But I don't enlarge the field here. I can pick F in a way that I'm still inside of this p-adic field Kp. I can look at the L-torsion group, and this is infinite. This is essentially a consequence of the theorem together with the base change argument and the injectivity of this map here. But you can pick F in a way that, okay, the point is that there's a countable subfield of Kp where all the data that give you this Chow group of E cubed mod L infinite, where all those data are defined, and you can pick an elliptic curve such that this is a transcendental extension but sits still inside of Kp. And then you do this exterior product argument. So here you don't have to enlarge the field. It's sort of hidden. You can do this. Let me place those results a little bit. Tsuchi Saito and Kanetomo Sato have shown in 2006 that if you take X to be a smooth projective variety, over a p-adic field, and you look at the Chow group of zero cycles, so points mod L, that this is finite if L is sufficiently large. So essentially, for all but a finite number of primes L, at the level of points, this Chow group mod L is finite. And then they've shown that Asakura and Saito, I think it came out in December, I don't know, maybe 2006. I mean, it was very recently, a few months ago, that there exists a smooth projective surface X such that over p-adic field such that the number of elements in the two torsion groups, so that's still points of X, and you take the L primary torsion, so you allow powers of L, is infinite for infinitely many L. And it's kind of interesting, because I believe, like, you know, this result, I mean, I presented this result in July of last year, and I talked to Tsuchi Saito quite a bit. And they were sort of trying to prove finiteness results. And I think that result made them shift gears a little bit, and now they prove the result like this, and this seems to be what you should expect over p-adic fields. Let me point out again that what we do here actually doesn't say anything about the number field case. We start with a function field, and I'll explain the overview, in an overview what we do before I get too technical. There's going to be two ingredients into this proof. There will be a certain elliptic curve E over F. F is Q adjoint T. And on this elliptic curve, you have a cycle, so this is going to be the Cereso cycle, a modified Cereso cycle, such that the image of the cycle in the Chow group of E cubed over F mod L is non-trivial for certain L. Let me also point out, that you move to the algebraic closure, things become divisible. If you take, for example, the Picard group of an elliptic curve over Q, it's a finitely generated abelian group over Q bar mod L, it's just V mod L from the degree part. And it's actually, it's non-trivial to prove something like this. So we have one cycle where we can show the image is non-zero. Then there's a different elliptic curve, script E over S. And on this curve, we can construct certain automorphisms, gamma bar, QI, so certain automorphisms of the Chow group of script E over F mod L. Now there's a QI floating around, so you get one of those automorphisms, one for each QI in an infinite sequence of primes. The primes have to satisfy certain conditions, but I will explain this in a second. So what we have for now is an infinite number of automorphisms. There better be a relation between E and script E, and the relation is that script E is a quadratic twist of E. What this means is that if I enlarge the field by the appropriate square root, those curves become isomorphic. They're in particular isomorphic over F bar. So you have this. So there's an isomorphism of E to script E, certainly over F bar and also over a smaller field. And the next step now is to I didn't hear you. Are the curves? The curves are isomorphic, and then E cubed is over F bar, E and script E are isomorphic. Okay, now it makes sense. Okay, so we have the cycle. Bar means it's the image over F bar in E cubed F bar, which is non-zero. You can use this isomorphism to get a non-zero cycle on script cubed over F bar. You can hit this element with those automorphisms. There are infinitely many. And then you can show that this is a set of cycles here, which is linearly independent over Z mod L. And the way you show this is because in a certain way the Galois group, it acts by a certain character on those cycles, and distinct primes give you distinct characters. That's an idea that goes back to Norris' proof that the Griffiths group is infinitely generated. And this is the program that Chet Schirm carried out to prove the first result here. So what we do is we actually sort of keep carefully track where things are defined, and then you see that there exists a tower of fields. So you start with Q adjoint T. Then you have K0, K1, K2. K infinity is the union over the KIs. And of course, all this sits inside of Q of T bar, which is F bar. And those automorphisms such that this automorphism of this guy, and those are the guys we're really interested in because we can show with a closure they're linearly independent, is the base change. Of a certain gamma qi of something over ki. In other words, if qi is a prime, there's a corresponding field in that tower, and the data are defined over this field, and then everything is a base change up to f. So to connect this to a p-adic field, let me see, I think I can fit this here. So what this says is that it's enough to show that this tower, okay, I put primes everywhere because otherwise you might get confused later, that this tower embeds into a fixed finite extension of QP. And this we do using a geometric argument, meaning that we use the geometry of moduli schemes associated to elliptic curves. So in other words, what this says is that everything that we see over the closure comes from a tau of fields which you can canonically embed, meaning like, you know, the problem is not to embed each one of those guys into a p-adic field. The problem is that it's compatible with this tower. And we can embed the entire tower into a p-adic field, and that proves the theorem. That's the overview. So, now, the title of the talk is The Modified Eraser Cycle, so I'm going to explain what this eraser cycle is. So E is going to be the elliptic curve y squared z is equal to t squared minus 4 x cubed plus. So you can think of it as a family of things that we look at it as an elliptic curve over Q joint T. And there exists a smooth genus 3 curve C over S together with an embedding roll from C into EQ. So everything is defined over F here. It makes sense to define a cycle eta by looking at the direct image of this curve. I mean, this certainly gives you a curve on EQ now, but now you take minus so in brackets, minus 1 is the action of the involution of the abelian variety times rho star of C. Now, let me remind you that the involution of the abelian variety acts on H4. I mean, M star acts by M squared. So this acts by 1, so this makes it homologically trivial. And this is the modified Zarasa cycle. It's the modified Zarasa cycle because, I mean, a famous example of a non-trivial element in the Griffiths group is the Zarasa cycle, which is something like sort of C minus minus C. And this is a version of this. This E cubed is really the triple product of E. I don't understand. Like, what is? It's isogenous, I believe. It's isogenous, but it's not exactly the same. I'll come actually back to Jacobian maybe in a second. And so the proposition. What Schoen showed is that for L in either 5, 7, 11, 13, or 17, the image eta bar of eta in Chow 2 of E cubed over F bar mod L is non-zero. And I want to say a little bit about how he proved this, and then maybe announce a more general result. So the first observation is that for T and Q without minus 1 or plus or minus 2, so if you fix T, then you have similar data, an elliptic curve, a smooth genus 3 curve, and an embedding over Q now. There exists a triple ET, CT, eta T over Q. Okay. So I fix T, and I can look at the corresponding data. Now, because we're in the number field situation, together with a specialization map, that goes from Chow 2 Hamel's E cubed F bar mod L to the Chow group in codimension 2 of E cubed. Now, this is terrible notation, but I follow Chet Schoen and like, you know, so there's a T here, so this means I look at E, I'd look at the specialization, and then there's Q bar, so I base extend to B over Q bar mod L that takes the modified Zarasa cycle to the specialized bar to the specialized guy here. So in particular, it suffices to show that this guy is non-trivial. Now, we don't have a general structure theorem like in any setting for a Chow group mod L. And if you want to test the cycle is non-trivial mod L over an algebraically closed field, there's a theorem of Bloch and Null. This is actually a variant of it, which says that this cycle is non-trivial if there exists a correspondence in Chow 3 of E3T cross E3T, so correspondence of degree 0, such that two conditions hold. The first one is, if you look at the action of the correspondence on N1 of H3 of E cubed over F bar, this mod L coefficients in weight 2, this should be 0. What this says is that the cycle P is ADA T bar is not L torsion. And the second condition is that the cycle that you get if you apply the correspondence to this cycle here has non-zero image in H1 with GQ. So GQ is the full Galois group of Q with coefficients in P of H3 of EQ, PQ bar, ZL, tensored with Z model. What is this? This is sort of like an arithmetic Abel-Jacobi map. It's a secondary cycle map. Of course, like, you know, if it maps to this guy and it's non-trivial here mod L, it has to be non-trivial mod L in the Chow group, then you have to make sure it's not an L-torsion element which comes from this. And what Chachurin does is, so he verifies this for certain pairs T, L. For example, I think if L is like 5, 5, 1, 7, and that's how he gets the 5, primes. I want to point out that really the difficulty here is to compute this, that this image is non-zero. Like in the initial example, Bloch and Orr provide some examples which are not divisible by L, but what they do is, and I work with a family, and they know that there's a total class somewhere which is non-trivial, and it restricts here, so that's how they show non-triviality. What Chachurin does is he writes down an explicit cycle and says, now I want to check it's non-zero under this map, which is a very difficult problem. Let me make a remark. So this is work in progress with Srinivas. The status is we talked about it again last week. It needs to be written up. Otherwise, we agree that it should go through. So let me announce this. Otherwise, you blame me, and I'm on tape now. So, like, you know. There exists a finite set S of primes such that you take the modified Theresa cycle, and you can show it's non-zero in Chow 2 of E cubed over S bar mod L for L not in S. Okay. So in particular, if you look at the program that we run through here, is all the results that are stated initially for 5 primes, they should hold for all but a finite number of primes. Let me make another remark, why one would care about results like this. And this is the only thing that has any connection with the homotopy theory of schemes. If you believe this for a second, that this holds for all but a finite number of primes. By the way, we don't know what the primes are for which it fails. You could probably figure it out if you wanted to, but it's sort of like, you know, it looks painful. So all we can say is there's only a finite number of primes which you have to throw away. It says that there exist smooth projective complex varieties of dimension 4 such that the morphic cohomology group in weight 3 and degree 4, let's call them X, of X mod L is infinite for all but a finite number of L's. So this says in particular that those morphic cohomology groups are very large. Then if you believe Bloch-Kato, this also implies that K1, semi-topological K3 of X, tends to Q, has infinite dimension. And to my knowledge, that's the only examples for K1. It's known that this K group and the corresponding, I mean, there's a spectral sequence, there's a heotypical spectral sequence that abuts to semi-topological K theory, and the input is morphic homology. All right, I said a little bit about the modified Theresa cycle. I have to talk about, I need Bloch-Cotto to show, the trick how you show this is it goes back to Clement's proof how the Griffiths group is not finitely generated. It actually shows that there are certain complex varieties for which Chow 2 mod L is infinite. You need Bloch-Cotto to show that, how does it go? You need something like H4 of X, motivic homology, injects into, if I remember this correctly, into a toric homology. Bloch-Cotto, yes, you need it for one body. It's much too strong in general. You need this consequence of Bloch-Cotto. Okay, I should say something about this a little bit, okay? Thank you. What's the difference, okay? So, I mean, Chet Chern, I mean, you see, he proves this result, and he goes down to the number field case, which doesn't make it any easier. He does that because he has a machine there. I mean, he has this machine because he checked that the Griffiths group for certain threefolds over a number field has at least a predicted rank. And he has a machine set up for that, and he puts everything into this machine. This proof is fairly elementary, meaning you sort of write down a variation of the Bloch and O theorem, because in our setting we can work with the geometric Mondrum representation. You write down a version of Bloch and O. You use spreading out. I mean, at some point you work over fields of this form, so you can spread out and you can see whatever is divisible comes from the cohomology of a smooth fourfold of this form, the integral cohomology. That's where the finite number of primes comes from. So I think it's really, I mean, it's assuming everything holds up, which I believe it comes out quite nicely. Okay. I want to explain how you get those automorphisms. Y1 of 4 is the fine moduli space or scheme that represents the functor elliptic curves with a point of order 4. And you also have a fine, so n is now larger than 1, it's odd. You have y naught of 4n, which is the fine moduli scheme that represents elliptic curves with a point of order 4 and a cyclic subgroup. Of order n. The way this tower arises is essentially because so there's an evident map. Okay. Maybe I should explain notation real quick. If you look at the compactification, so why not of 4n? Hold on, let me do this. Let me try to do this. What this is the y naught of 4n is x naught of 4n minus the cusps, where x naught of 4n is isomorphic to X104, so that's the Lean-Rappaport compactification of this Y104, fibered over P1 of Z with the coarse moduli scheme that represents elliptic curves as a cyclic subgroup of order N, and it's the normalization of this. Now there's a map from X104 to X0/4, which is an isomorphism. So in that sense, I mean, Y0/4N makes some sense, this notation. Now there's an evident map from here to Y104, which is the map that forgets the level N. Yep. X0/4N is the normalization of this fiber product. X0/n is the coarse moduli, the reusual coarse moduli scheme. Elliptic curves, there's a cyclic subgroup of order n or something like that, right? This is... Okay, together. I mean, is that the source of confusion? There are two conditions here. I don't know. For some reason, this port doesn't work for me today too well. There's an evident morphism for Genta level N structure, and that corresponds to a morphism, an embedding of function fields of this form. And this is how you construct the tower. And let me explain how this goes. Okay, this is where the maps are going to come from, but there's also script E floating around, which is the elliptic curve minus T plus 2 X cubed minus 2 T X squared Z minus T plus 2 X Z squared. So again, elliptic curve over F. A couple of observations here. I mean, script E has a point of order 4, which is given by minus 1, 2, 1. If this point doesn't do it, I messed something up in the equation. There is a point of order 4. Okay. Script E is isomorphic to the generic fiber of the universal elliptic curve with a point of order 4. And finally, to make this precise, E is the quadratic twist of the E we had before, corresponding to the field extension F adjoined 2 minus T square root. Now we put things together. So we fix an odd prime P, and we let QI, I larger equal to 1, be an infinite sequence with distinct odd primes. QI different from P. And we set K0 as the function field of the bottom guy, K1 ki is the function field of y naught of 4ni, where ni is just the product of the first I primes, and what we get out of this is a tower just by this, those forget the level n structure maps. This sits between k naught, which is a finite extension of q of t, and q of t bar. We need the automorphisms, and I say this, and then maybe I say something about this embedding and call it a day. So the claim is for each qi, there exist endomorphisms is E over K bar then here you have E over K infinity. So this is the base change map that comes from this tower here, and then you have EKI to EKI, and this is, I don't know, gamma QI bar, gamma QI, gamma QI. I'm writing this down to remind you that the guy up here is a base change from something that happens down here. How do you get this map? Well, if you take QI and you take NJ, where J is larger or equal to I, so in particular QI divides NI, you can look at the universal elliptic curve script E and J, now let me remind you, this is the universal elliptic curve here, and this is the fine moduli scheme, point of order 4, cyclic subgroup of order NJ. This is the cyclic subgroup scheme of order NJ, QI divides NJ, so there's an element of order QI. And then you can show that this again has a point of order 4, which comes from here, and has a cyclic subgroup scheme of order NJ. So there's a map like this. This is a Cartesian square. There exists a unique morphism omega QI down here. This is just the quotient isogenates, the identity here, so this commutes. And then this gives you a map, the composition on top gives you a map from this guy back to this guy. And now you use that EKI is isomorphic to ENJ fibered over this space with spec of KI. So omega of QI is going to be UQI cross omega QI. And then you lift this involution. It's actually an involution. It's an Atkin-Lehner involution. You lift it up to the larger fields, and that's how you get the endomorphisms. I only have 5 minutes, and I'm running out of time. Then you can show with not too much work. So you take this guy on the triple product. You can show with not too much work gives you an automorphism on the Chow group model. And then the question is, everything comes from this type of tower, and the final result is a result about p-adic fields. So you want to embed this tower into a p-adic field. So let me say a little bit about how you do this. So to show, you see, the prime means all this construction is for script E now. To be able to transport this eraser cycle from E to script E, you need this quadratic extension. You put this in, this amounts to putting a prime everywhere, You want to show that this embeds into some KP. What you need to show is that, so it suffices to show that if you look at the regular coarse moduli scheme, let's say, okay, so you have maps from x naught of 1 to q, x naught of n to q, x naught of n prime. So let me guess, n divides n prime here. And you want some QP, and you want to have embeddings that are compatible with those forget maps. And the way you can achieve this compatibility is that you use that x naught of n to x naught of 1 has a distinguished cuspidal section. There are two cusps, and it's unramified along exactly the image of one of them, which means that there's a unique cuspidal section such that this map here is a tile along the image of this point. This allows it to apply Hensel's lemma, and this is how you get to compatibility. And I should stop, except for one more thing. I don't know if Bert had some examples. I wanted to mention this. You have some examples with complex cobordisms of cycles which are non-trivial in the child group model. Okay. Those cycles are not torsion.
Can you get an infinite number of copies of Z?
What do you mean by these cycles? I mean, okay, so the criterion of Bloch and O essentially.
One that is non-torsion.
Yes.
And now you're getting mod L, you're getting a whole lot. Like an infinite dimension.
Right, right.
So can you get an infinite direct sum of copies of Z?
Let me see. What do you mean is, like, you know, you look at the child group, and you look at the child group mod L. The child group mod L is infinite. That makes you believe there should be an infinite lattice, like an infinite number. That's sort of how I think of it. But I mean, the proof doesn't say that explicitly. I mean, that's how I think of it, that there should be an infinite lattice, an infinite number of copies of C sitting inside the integral child group. What else could it be? The point is, like, you know, this mod L business, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, you know, maybe, I mean, I guess some people would say it's sort of like a weak model rail type of a theorem. You take, like, the Picard group mod L of an elliptic curve, and it's finite. And what this says is that you probably can't expect to find much structure there. It also says, by the way, I mean, another thing you know is, you know, the Griffiths group is countable. It's like a Hilbert scheme argument. So if mod L, this thing is infinite, I guess, in a way. I mean, it's as large. I mean, I think of it as there should be an infinite lattice sitting inside. And
shucks. Did you show that the L torsion in Chow 2 was finite by looking at another part of the morphitic cohomology?
What you know is, of course, over an algebraically closed field, that if you take the L torsion, and you know that H3 with ZL coefficients is torsion free, you need this. You know that this is isomorphic to N1 of H3. Of XF with Z mod L coefficients. I mean, that's Mikuyev-Suslin, like Bloch's map. You need to know that H3 is torsion free, otherwise, you can pick up some finite piece there. And this you know in general, right, in co dimension 2. But you don't know it, like, for higher co dimensions. There's a couple other things that come out of this. I mean, since, like, you know, maybe 1 minute. Those type of examples, for example, I mean, like, you know, the examples of Chet Chern of a fourfold. Yes. These examples of Chet Chern of a fourfold, so this is a fourfold now, such that the L primary torsion over an algebraically closed field, such that the L torsion is infinite. I mean, one of the things it says is that sort of those cycles are not seen in the Tarkov algebra, not by sort of the global cycle map. I mean, like, you know, and if the field is sort of a certain type, you can try to spread out and do things like that and find things like global maps, but they're not seen in the Tower cohomology. The other things it says is, those are the only examples I know in the separable closed field case for which then the kernel between the map between algebraic K-theory and the Tower K-theory is infinite. And they come from this torsion side. We write down the universal coefficient theorem in business like this. I don't know, I mean, like, I kind of like those questions right now. I like to understand those objects better. And I think we still know very little about those groups.
Any other questions?
Mark.